This is the Studs and Busts Fantasy Football Podcast with your hosts, Rob and Gary.
All right. Hey, how you doing out there, all you listeners and fantasy football fans? This is Studs and Busts Fantasy Football Podcast, episode numero one. I'm Rob here, joined by my friend Gary.
What's going on? How's everyone doing?
We are both former fantasy football champions of different leagues and things like that, so we want to come together and give a fresh approach to the fantasy football podcast world. I don't know about you, Gary, but I listen to a lot of fantasy football podcasts, and they're pretty boring, if I do say so myself.
Still a couple of them, but the majority of them are pretty boring, so hopefully we're not in that bracket, that same category.
We're going to try to keep it interesting and keep it entertaining for all you guys out there, so it's fun to listen to, and you also pick up some useful information for this upcoming season of football.
Football
madness and fun and fantasy football.
Hopefully
all
you get
that
a trophy.
Goodness.
Listen to our advice. So
yeah, hopefully we're going to lead you to the promised land and all the glory will be yours and you can thank us. So I guess right now we'll start out with your basic standard draft tips and techniques to go by when you're doing your fantasy football draft. I'm sure there's some people out there listening that have never even done a fantasy football draft at all. This might be their first year doing it. And there's a lot of things we could go back and wish that we told ourselves now from our very first fantasy football draft, if you remember.
I took a lot of Giants, simply because I'm a Giants fan. First draft, didn't know what was going on. I think I took Eli, and then I ended up taking, like,
so we'll start with that. I think number one rule, these aren't necessarily in order, but they're all equally as important. Number one, don't draft based on your own personal team.
Yeah.
Don't get all your guys thinking, oh, my team's going to win it all this year, so I'm just going to draft all my guys. Not only is it not a good, you know, idea to do, all your guys are going to have the same bye week as well.
And I think that goes for just not just your team in general. Just don't draft a lot of players from the same team. If they're having a bad week, you're not going to get many points. Just a waste of a draft.
And like I said, all the guys are going to end up on the same bye week, and then you're going to be struggling to fill those positions when the time comes. So I think that would be number one. Don't draft based on your own. This is fantasy. That's number one thing. You're keeping your fantasy separate from your reality. And don't go benching your guys when they're playing your favorite team, thinking, oh, you know, these guys aren't going to do anything because I'm confident in my team. You always keep your studs in, and you play your matchups. So I think that's number one.
Number two, I'm going to add that I guess this year in particular, I'm noticing there's not a lot of running backs. So I think the first two rounds should be drafted. Take a good running back. If you're in a position where you can get a stud running back, take them early because there's not a lot. I think once you get into like the fourth or fifth round, you're kind of just digging, looking for someone to fill a spot. When you can easily take two guys early, and that spot is just filled, solidified, you don't have to worry about anything for the rest of the season, I guess on bye weeks. But definitely early, take a running back.
We talked about this earlier, how in the mock drafts we've been doing, a lot of people are taking quarterbacks, you know, top-tier quarterbacks, but they're taking them early, first round, second round. We're seeing Tom Brady go, and some of them we're seeing Drew Brees go really super early. These are good quarterbacks, but I don't necessarily think they should be going in the first, second round.
It's deep this year in quarterbacks, though. There's a lot of quarterbacks, but, I mean, running backs, not a lot of. Wide receivers, pretty deep. I even think tight ends are going to be pretty deep this year, just running backs early.
All right.
Just get them early.
And I think number three rule, especially for those people that are starting out, is the kicker rule when it comes to fantasy football.
Last round.
Last round is your kicker. I know some people say, oh, well, this kicker's really good. He's consistently good. He plays for a high-scoring offense. You don't know if that offense is going to be high-scoring this year. Yes, you know, Saints, Patriots, these are consistently high-scoring offenses year to year. But still, it's a kicker, you know.
I know, personally, I probably went through at least five or six different kickers last season. You know, you just go with the – I like looking at the matchup for the kicker. If you have a team that doesn't really score a lot, but they're always in the red zone and, you know, kick field goals, I go for them. But
let's be honest here. The kicker is basically the whore of the fantasy football squad.
Yeah.
You're going to be dropping, picking them up, passing them around all season long, and that's pretty much the bottom line.
They definitely are a whore because sometimes, like for me in particular, a few years ago, I actually got fucked by a kicker.
Sex is a normal part of life. It's healthy.
Not literally, but he kicked my opponent into the Super Bowl, and he ended up winning. So.
Well, there you go. You heard it first. No kickers until the last round. Why you say is because you should be filling up your fantasy football team with all the rounds. There's plenty of deep sleeper picks. A lot of guys are going to get injured. You don't know who yet. These guys are going to be the ones that are stepping in, and instead of waiting and trying to jump on the waiver wire and outbeat somebody to get that person, you get them in the later rounds. That's why you wait for a kicker.
I think another thing to add to this is one more point when you're drafting. Don't go draft someone just because they looked flashy in the preseason. They might not even make the team just because they made a couple of good things in the preseason. Don't take them. I know a few years ago one of our friends decided to take Victor Cruz before he was even on the team and took him early. And he was still the third wide receiver.
And he didn't play at all that season.
Didn't play at all.
He had a breakout year the next year, but definitely that's premature.
Yeah. Premature taking someone before they even made the team. So just be careful who you take.
Yes. Don't draft prematurely, and don't draft your horse till the last round. Yeah, that's pretty much what we're trying to say there. Speaking of the first year that we ever drafted, I think it was, you know, it's got to be a good 7-8 years ago now that we've been doing this. I mean, not as long as a lot of people, but we've definitely had the experience. I think we had no idea. It was crash course. We had no idea what we were doing. I think you didn't. I think you might actually take an Eli Manning in the first round.
I did take him in the first round.
You did or somebody did.
Another thing is we didn't draft until like halfway into the season, or not even halfway, but like
halfway through the preseason or something. It was after the first game of the season. Yeah.
Yeah, we drafted after the first game, so we missed that first game completely. Missed the whole preseason completely, and we just dove right into it. So that was a mess. I think a running back I took. Ahmad Green. I think maybe
Ahmad Green. You haven't heard that name in quite some time.
I took him, and I think he was like the third running back on his team. I just took him just because I heard the name before. I didn't know anything about fantasy.
And to reiterate what I said about not drafting based on your favorite team, don't also not draft based on teams that you don't like.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a Giants fan, you got the Eagles, Cowboys, Redskins. You don't want them to do good because you don't want them to do good in reality, but you can't go, you know, avoiding their star players because you think that, you know, you're hoping they're going to have a bad year
If Shady McCoy is sitting there in my pick, I'm going to take him. He's a good running back. You know what I mean? Take, like he's saying, take good players. Doesn't necessarily have to be players you like, but just take them if they're good on the field.
And I think another rule we're going to add here is stick to the guys that are on the field the most. If you're on the field the most, you're getting more yards, you're getting more touchdowns, and that's what it is. Like you said, don't go by, you know, go with the star players, but don't draft just by names. I hope there's not anyone out there who's seriously considering drafting, you know, Tim Tebow or something like that, because he is such a name and he sells jerseys.
But there's one thing, I guess.
He's not on the field.
When you're saying don't draft someone on the field, someone that's on the field a lot, I mean, if you go for guys
except for quarterbacks or something.
Well, I'm saying like goal line guys. They're not on the field a lot. There's a lot of guys that are workhorses. They'll get you down to the 1 yard line, but then there's that one guy or one or two guys every year who only come in on the goal line.
Yeah.
Those guys.
Well, basically, what I meant by that is don't draft by name. Don't take a Tim Tebow because he sells jerseys. I'm sure people know that. It should be something that you know. But for those who don't know, and those who are, you know, first timers drafting here.
So yeah.
I'm sure someone's gonna, you know, send us an email, tell me, you know, no shit, Rob. You know, don't draft people who don't play. But they're. For the people out there that are just getting started, we got to think about them too, okay?
So, yeah, well, I know.
Chill out.
Still, for first getting started, you know, they don't know about the goal line backs. There's a lot of goal line backs out there.
That's true. We'll get to that in the first episode here. Another basic guideline for when you're drafting is, for your own security, it would be to handcuff your players, which would mean, you know, pick up their backups in the later rounds. In case your guy goes down, that guy's going to step in and get the playing time, so you want to be prepared for that.
But make sure they're quality backups or handcuffs, because you're not going to want to get, like, you know, a running back who's like, you know, the guy behind Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah.
Or even like, you know, like get someone who you know is going to get a lot of playing time, like, you know, Carolina Panthers, for example. Two good running backs are going to be handcuffs. You're going to be switching in and out.
Although I think, is Stewart hurt right now?
He might be hurt right now. Or even, better example, Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
CJ Spiller, Fred Jackson.
Yeah.
Both quality running backs. One goes down, you know the other one could pick up the slack.
Speaking of Fred Jackson, obviously had some injury issues last year. He's trying to bounce back this year. I think it's pretty much CJ Spiller's, you know, free reign there now. I did I saw something with the coach of the Buffalo Bills stated that they were gonna run CJ Spiller until he passed out or something along that nature. He had quoted to say. So that's one of the guys. That's the reason why he's projected top 5 overall. And an interesting thing also to think about is to grab handcuffs in the later rounds, but grab other people's handcuffs. Because if you think about it, if that guy goes down, say your team, say I take your handcuff in one of the later rounds, and your guy goes down, I have your handcuff, I can plug him in along with my starters who are still playing. My star players, I can put your handcuff in my flex. Now, all of a sudden, I've got three starting running backs.
That's true, and you could also use it for trades.
Yeah,
that person's
true.
Running back that goes down, they might have a really good run, like a running team. You can
they
use
might
that
have,
person
they might
as
have
a
someone
trade.
That you really want, and then you can you know bolster your team, bolster your roster, while giving him his backup that he needs because his guy went down. So keep that in mind. Handcuff your players. Handcuff other people's stars also, because it'll pay off. You can stick them in your lineup, and also you can use it as trade bait. You know, say they have someone that you need. Say your receiver goes down, and they have a guy that you want. There you go. I think the last basic rule or guideline that we'll cover here is, you hear it a lot, and it's true, to don't bench your studs. Always play your studs, because a guy like Adrian Peterson or a guy like Julio Jones, these guys can, you know, break out performance any game. It doesn't matter if a scary defense is coming up on the schedule. These guys, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter
for
a
reason.
They're studs for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, you got a guy like
Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson, he's coming up against, you know, say a defense that, you know, 49ers defense, something, somebody that's, you know, known to shut down other teams a lot. Doesn't matter. Play them. They'll have big games regardless. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of, you know, weather conditions, any other thing like that that would make you want to bench your guy.
I think the only thing you would be scared of is a significant injury. But I also say if they're going to start them. You know, if Calvin Johnson has like an ankle injury, but he said he's good enough to play, you want to risk not starting him? That could be his best game. You never know. I say, like you said, start your starters. Start your studs, always.
All right.
This is the mock.
All right, Gary, we're going to play a game with you right here. I like to call it the mock mock.
Clever name.
And basically, it's a mock. It's a mock of a mock draft. We're not actually in a lobby right now. But I'm going to run through, you know, we're not going to do, you know, sit here and do 16 rounds, whatever like that. But I'm going to throw some names at you based on the rankings and how they've been going in a lot of leagues and a lot of people's rankings and this, that, and the other thing. And go over our rankings pretty much because this is our, you know, show. So you got number one pick in the draft. You're sitting there. You're drafting. You're going with Adrian Peterson, obviously.
Yes.
We're agreed on that.
100% taking Adrian Peterson.
Now, a lot of people have been talking lately. I think from there on, it gets tricky at number two, or does it not get tricky at number two?
It gets a little tricky solely because, I mean, there's a lot of quality running backs. Marshawn Lynch can be sitting there. I mean,
obviously what I'm talking about is Arian Foster.
He's injured right now.
I've heard him say, they asked him, will you be ready for opening night? He said, yeah, I'll be ready. Are you taking him at his word, or you still have concerns?
I still have a little concerns, but then again, wasn't he injured like a season ago and he killed it still? So, I mean, but I don't know. If I had the second pick, it would be very hard for me to not... With Marshawn Lynch sitting there, he's been killing it lately. The team's very good. They got a better defense, I feel like, coming into the season. It's a little tricky, you know. It's you never know. And if Marshawn Lynch has been healthy, he's, like I said, he's just sitting there. I think I might pass and take Marshawn Lynch, just as me personally. Someone who's not been injured, someone who has a very, very good team around him, very, very good defense around him, and he's looked great in preseason, so.
This is true. And it is your second pick of the entire draft.
Exactly.
You pick up a guy, Arian Foster, and he ends up being hurt. He ends up getting smacked around first couple weeks. You know, he's hurt already. And he ends up sitting on your bench, you know, nursing an injury, rehabbing the whole season. That's not someone who you want for your number two pick of the draft. Because if you're doing a standard snake draft, you're not picking again, you know, all the way until the end of the second round. So who's going to be left at running back at the end of that second round? I don't know. Let's do our mock mock. Let's continue to mock mock. So you're taking Lynch second.
I personally would feel more comfortable with Lynch second. There's a lot of threats there, in Seattle. I don't know. I just think Marshawn Lynch is a safer bet. You know, just a better team around him.
You're taking Marshawn Lynch second. So third pick. If you're not taking Arian Foster at two, you're taking him at three.
Probably.
Or you think there's someone? Do you think there's someone else? But obviously, you're higher on Marshawn Lynch. So you think
the injury is just scary. Obviously, you know, the first three or four picks, you got to take him. It's you're going to have to take him at some point. But I think if you're still a little iffy, there's some good running backs up there. I mean, you can go with a Ray Rice, a Jamal Charles, who I actually had last year. very good. Came off an ACL injury. A lot of people don't talk about it. Came off an ACL injury and was amazing on a team that wasn't that good. He still killed it. Now he has a quarterback. Now they have a better offensive line. Their defense is pretty good. So, you know, you got to put all those into factors. And he's healthy. And that last year he played off an injury and he killed it. So, you know, if it just depends how bad this injury really is. I guess obviously we won't know until he plays. But the injury is just a little scary to me. But, you know, obviously in the first four or five picks, if he's still there, you got to take him. If he drops that far, you got to take him.
All right. So, three. Are you taking him or are you going for a guy like Ray Rice, C.J. Spiller, Doug Martin, Jamal Charles, Trent Richardson, Alfred Morris,
well, I think
Sean McCoy, any of these guys are you putting above Arian Foster right now?
A few of those guys you name have dropped as low as the eighth or ninth pick. And, you know, like Shady McCoy, I've seen him go down. I actually draft him in a mock at 10. So, you know, those guys are dropping. But I think of Jamal Charles, like you said, a Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Lynch. Those are the four guys that I think that I would draft maybe over him. After that, no. He would still be in my top five, Arian Foster.
All right. So it's so far on your mock list, we got Adrian Peterson, we got Marshawn Lynch, we got number three. Who we got?
I guess you can just say I would take Arian Foster there.
You would take him there?
I'd take him there, I guess.
So you're taking him, even with the health issues, over a Ray Rice and a Jamal Charles, C.J. Spiller, Doug Martin, all those guys.
I would take him over Doug Martin and a C.J. Spiller because I personally don't think C.J. Spiller is going to carry the full load the whole season. I think Fred Jackson's a very good threat in the season once he gets going to start stealing a lot of his carries, especially his goal line carries.
All right. So if he's sitting there at three, you're taking Arian Foster. Now, who are we taking at number four?
That's where it starts getting a little tricky there.
I mean, it gets a little tricky at four. If you're sitting on the clock, you know, you're doing your draft.
Well, no, I think, like I said, top five. I already named my top five. I'm saying
okay.
After that.
Okay, after top five. So who do you got for your top five? Recap.
Adrian Peterson, Marshawn Lynch. I would go Arian Foster, Jamal Charles, and Ray Rice. I think Doug Martin had a very, very good year. You also got to play in the fact that he's a rookie. You know, there's not a lot of film on him out there. Even though halfway through the season, you know, he still was killing it. But second year, you know, they're going to stack the box a lot more. They're going to make him pass, you know.
You don't know what's going on at quarterback too much for Tampa Bay right now. There was a big decline from Josh Freeman at the end of the year, I would say last year. And we don't know where he's going to be at this year. So I don't totally trust Doug Martin for that reason. And because a huge, huge chunk of his yardage for the whole season came against the Oakland Raiders in those two games. He ate them up on the ground. There was a few weeks where he made most of his yards.
I had him last season, and yeah, there was a couple weeks where he would have a single digit, but there were other weeks where he would just explode. For example, I end up with 32 points one week, and the next week I end up with like 40 or 50. So he'll, you know, when he's on, but when he's off, he's definitely off. So
okay, so after that top five, Peterson, Lynch, Foster, Jamal Charles, Ray Rice, who are you going with? Let's say, you know, for the next couple backs, who are you taking?
I take a Trent Richardson. I think he looks very good, and I think that offense in general just looks good.
Trent Richardson over Spiller.
Like I said, I don't think Spiller, halfway through the season, I really believe that Fred Jackson's going to get a lot of carries.
Okay.
He's healthy. He did very well up until his injury, and I really think the goal lines is where he's going to lose a lot of his carry, and that's a lot of points. Right there. That's points from C.J. Spiller at the goal line.
So you're sitting at that spot. You're taking Richardson.
Richardson, definitely.
Spiller's still draftable.
In my eyes, I think, you know, if he's sitting there and you feel comfortable with him, take him. I just personally think that he's going to lose value halfway through the season.
All right.
Plus, you have E.J. Manuel as well. If he starts, he's a running quarterback.
He's going to be vulturing.
Yeah.
He might even be vulturing some goal line stuff away from Spiller. Then you got Fred Jackson in the mix. So you don't think the yardage Spiller's going to get is going to make up, don't think, for him being drafted?
He still should be drafted in the first round. I just think at early picks, there's a lot more guys with more upside who don't have anyone who can possibly take away their carries, like a Trent Richardson. You know what I mean? So I would go there. Or even if you're up there, you know, if Calvin Johnson's sitting there, you know, even though we say take running backs early, Calvin Johnson's a stud player. If he's sitting there, you can't pass him up.
So you're even talking about, you know, Calvin Johnson in the top 10 picks?
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Yes.
All right.
Even him.
Now,
he's a stud. Exactly what we said earlier. You play your studs. He's a stud. If he's sitting there and you can grab him and, you know, the top five running backs are gone, why not?
All right.
You know what I mean?
And Jamaal Charles, you taking him before Ray Rice at four?
Yes.
What's your reasoning there?
Reason why, I don't think the Ravens offense is going to be as good as they were. One, they lost a lot of key players also on defense. So
Anquan Boldin did come alive in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl. He was big.
And he's not there
anymore. He's in San Francisco now.
Lost Pitta.
Okay.
Okay. There's no clear shot number two wide receiver there.
And there is a couple guys in the backfield in Baltimore that will take some of his time away. Bernard Pierce is up and coming. We'll talk about that in our sleeper section. So we're going with 4 or 5. You got Trent Richardson at 6. Who's your next guy at 7? Are you finally taking Spiller at 7, or you got?
I'd say you take Spiller around that time. If you know, you take Spiller around that time. Yeah, he's still sitting there. You got to take him.
Alfred Morris, how you feeling about Alfred Morris? He's going to have a lot of playing time. We don't know the quarterback situation there. We don't know what the run game is going to be like. That's another question mark in the top 10.
Well,
I think.
Well, I think about that is even if. I really think that Cousins could carry the team for a couple of weeks. He proved that he's very good. So if for some reason RG3 is not there, I don't think it's going to really affect Morris too much because we do know that Cousins can play.
Now, Cousins, though, actually just suffered an injury in the preseason.
See, I wasn't aware of that.
We don't know how, I don't know how serious it is, but I did see that in maybe a game this past weekend. He got hurt also. Rex Grossman's in there now, flinging the ball around.
Oh.
So
Rex.
So Alfred Morris, I can see he's gonna have, you know, a ton of playing time, but we don't know where he's gonna be, what kind of
and
production.
How is,
we're not sure of his production.
How's Pierre playing? Is he healthy, 100% healthy this season, or
we're not sure. There's a lot of it's a banged up offense for Washington right now. So, all right, C.J. Spiller at 7. Who are you putting at 8? Are you putting guy like LeSean McCoy ahead of Alfred Morris right now? You putting a guy like Calvin Johnson ahead of him right now? What do you think?
I would put a Calvin Johnson, not so much McCoy. I think I think they're very similar in their situations, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. But McCoy's offense is a lot more healthier. You know,
right.
They still have Deshaun. They just named Michael Vick the starter. So I see there's a lot more upside for him as opposed to, as of right now, Morris. Because Morris, there's a lot of question marks on that offense right now. Look at me, you know, once RG3 comes back, depending on how healthy he is, he will be a threat, obviously, Morris. But I think just right now, we're not knowing what's really going on, when he's going to be back.
So we're putting Calvin Johnson, you're taking him with the 8th pick right now, right after C.J. Spiller.
Yeah.
So 9, are you going out for Morris or are you going LeSean McCoy? Who are you trusting more? What do you think is going to have a better year?
The new offense, I got to go with McCoy. New offense,
this
better situation. You know, we know the quarterback situation. We know the wide receivers. We know tight end. Everyone seems a lot healthy over there.
So far in our mock, you know, we've had we haven't had Doug Martin taken yet.
We haven't?
No.
Oh wow.
So you trust? Are you saying you trust a guy like Calvin Johnson and LeSean McCoy?
Yeah, because they've proven
Martin?
They have more than one season on their resume.
Yeah.
And they're consistently good every season. Doug Martin, we have one good season where he's been spotty at times, and it's such an early pick. You got to remember, this is a very early pick. It's your first pick. You know, obviously, top 10, he should be taken, but I just feel a lot more safe with guys that I know who have proven themselves more than once.
And even, you know, being so thin at wide receiver, you would even take Calvin Johnson ahead of Doug Martin there? Even knowing next time around, a lot of these running backs are going to be gone, because you're confident in Calvin Johnson's numbers for this upcoming season.
Yeah, Reggie Bush is there. The quarterback's good. I think that Calvin Johnson is just Calvin Johnson, man. If he's sitting there, and I think one of the top five running backs are gone, how can you pass up Calvin? It's Calvin. It's all Megatron, right, man.
So
it's fucking good.
I'm guessing after you know, pick 10 and 11 got to be Doug Martin and Alfred Morris.
Yeah.
All right. So those two guys are dropping to the end of the running back totem pole here. And you got one wide receiver in the middle of all those, Calvin Johnson.
Yep.
So now you got pick number 12. Are you continuing with the running backs? Or are you getting rid of guys like Steven Jackson, guys who are aging, injury concerns? You know, a guy like Matt Forte, Stephen Ridley, who had a big year last year.
If you're in the back end, I feel like at this point,
Or are you going for top tier quarterback?
I'm going for top tier quarterback. Me personally.
At pick 12, you're
going
for top tier.
Remember, if it's a snake draft and you have pick 12, now you can go get a running back like a Steven Jackson. You know what I mean? You can just right now take a great quarterback that's going to be that position's solidified. You got that position now. You get a Drew Brees, you get an Aaron Rodgers. Then you're going to start getting the running backs that may drop a little bit, like a Steven Jackson. So take when you can get right there.
Oh, okay. So you're coming into the second. You're coming into the second round. Okay.
So take that.
So we're going 12 team here. We're going 12 team mock.
Yeah.
All right.
So I would take Aaron Rodgers there or Drew Brees, depending on. I think Drew Brees has a lot of upside this season, simply because Sean Payton's back.
Mm-hmm.
He was good last season without Sean Payton. Before that, with Sean Payton, he was amazing. Sean Payton's back. You know, I think they'll be very, very good this year. So,
all right.
I personally would take Drew Brees over Aaron Rodgers just because of the upside on that.
All right. So, Aaron Rodgers, you're taking Drew Brees over Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
All right. So, that leaves guys like A.J. Green, Aaron Rodgers, Steven Jackson, Dez Bryant, Matt Forte, Stephen Ridley, Peyton Manning, Brandon Marshall, Frank Gore.
I think I would take Forte over Steven Jackson as well. Steven Jackson's team is a lot. There's so many weapons on that team.
Mm-hmm.
There's just both wide receivers, the tight end. You know, there's so many weapons that I think that there's a lot more upside with taking a running back like Forte. You know, yeah, they have.
Let's be honest. Steven Jackson's ready to, you know, snap another something at any
And Rodgers is just creeping right there.
Jaquizz Rodgers also in a mix.
For the past few seasons, that's all, you know, when Michael Turner was there, they were talking about Rodgers. Steven Jackson's there. Rodgers is going to take a couple of his carries. Forte's the man there in the running back position.
Who's the man?
You know, so.
In the second
Who's
round,
the man?
You're liking Forte.
I'm liking Forte.
As the first running back that should come off the board.
Yeah.
This is when all your quarterbacks are going to start going, I think. I've been in a couple mock drafts where you've actually had a guy like Peyton Manning and even Tom Brady that are sitting in the third round.
I've seen
where do you think is a good value for these quarterbacks? Peyton Manning, Tom Brady,
I think
even Aaron Rodgers is going to go at probably at the top of the second round.
I think Peyton Manning should be taken, you know, in the second round. He has a lot more weapons now. Defense is pretty good. But you also got to remember, he's Wes Welker now. He killed it with two, you know, great wide receivers. Now he has three.
And like we said a little bit earlier, don't be, you know, scared because Peyton Manning didn't put up big numbers in his first couple preseason games because they're obviously, you know, it's a precautionary measure. He was great last year, but, you know, the guy still has had, you know, about 6,000 neck injuries and surgeries and all that other shit. So
offensive line's very good.
Don't expect big numbers from him in the preseason. You know, he's going to go out there, he's going to throw a couple balls. They might not look pretty, but it still doesn't mean, oh, you know, Peyton Manning's going to suck this year, because I don't think that's going to be the case.
He has three of the best wide receivers in football on the same team.
Yeah.
And it's Peyton Manning. And he has a good offensive line. He's going to put up points.
All right. So I think that's about it for our mock. We went through the first round and some of the second round. So we'll just get to straight rankings, you know, position by position here. Gary and me will give you both of our rankings. And, yeah. Quarterback number one. I think I know who it is for you. Obviously, it's Drew Brees.
Yes.
Now, talk about that for a minute here.
Drew Brees, reason why he's number one, simply, in my opinion, is because, like I said, the main thing, Sean Payton's back. When Sean Payton was there, those are the best years that Drew Brees has had. He was a very, very good last season without him. But I just think Sean Payton back in the mix, he's just due for a big year. He's Drew Brees. He's amazing. And like I said, even without Sean Payton, he's easily top three quarterback. But with him there, he's just more explosive. Sean Payton lets him design the plays. They're just, those two together is just, I guess, magic as far as, you know, coach-quarterback combination.
I think it's very close for me. But I think number one quarterback, I know this sounds crazy, but I think it's Tom Brady for me. I think.
Who is he throwing to this season that makes him the best right now?
Who is he ever throwing to? It never matters who he's throwing to.
I know it's just preseason, but did you see him last night against the Lions defense?
No, I didn't, actually.
Terrible.
Was it?
Terrible.
All right. Well, Gary, like you said, don't trust the preseason, so that's it.
Okay. That. Well put.
I think when the Lions went 0-16, they won all their preseason games.
I just, who is he? I know you say who is he always throwing to, but I just this year, no Gronk for how many games? No Hernandez. No, I mean, Amendola, who's
Danny
injured?
Danny Amendola.
Who's injured again?
Okay. Well, I think you're forgetting about the little guy.
Amendola, who's always injured.
When I say the little guy, I mean the little white guy. Because Tom Brady always has a little white guy
to
throw
to. Well, if you're talking about little white guys, you're also forgetting that Danny Woodhead is not there anymore.
There is a man named Julian Edelman.
Okay.
And Amendola.
Who's always injured.
He's always injured, but I think he'll be back. Tom Brady will give him a nice smack on the ass.
Okay, bend over.
All will be cleared.
This is the year where the Patriots don't look like Patriots. I think they're going to look pretty shitty this season.
I think it's the year where Tom Brady comes out and he says, I'm Tom Brady, bitch.
I don't think he's going to say that this year.
All right.
I think he's just going to be everyone else's bitch this season.
Number two, I'm going Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going Aaron Rodgers as well.
All right, we're agreed on number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is where I got Gary's number one. I got Drew Brees at number three. I think the top three or four quarterbacks will be really close. I got Brady, Rodgers, Brees. Who you got for number three?
I got Peyton.
All right.
Manning. Too many weapons, man.
Peyton Manning is my number four. I got Brady, Rodgers, Brees, Peyton. Who's your top four so far, Gary?
Tom Brady is number four.
Tom Brady.
So I got Brees, Rodgers, Peyton, and Brady.
All right. Now, number five. It's maybe a little crazy. I know a lot of guys are labeling him as possibly a bust and someone that should definitely not be ranked fifth. But you know, I got sort of a hard on for this guy right now, Gary, and I'm gonna tell you who he is: Colin Kaepernick.
Did you get the hard on from you Did you see the Sports Illustrated him naked? Is that what the hard on's from? Or
I missed that issue.
Oh.
But
yeah, he's butt-ass in that. But okay.
This is a guy who's makes plays, you know, with his feet. He can run downfield. He's a pure athlete, and he obviously stepped in last year. And there's a reason they kept him in. He brought his team to the Super Bowl. I don't think it was a fluke. You know, they can look at the film. They can, you know, figure out how to shut down these new offenses like this. But I think he's pure talent, and I don't think you can stop a guy like that. And he can make plays down the field. There was a reason, if you remember last season, while Alex Smith was still the starter, they were bringing this guy in on certain downs. They were bringing in Kaepernick on certain downs to throw the ball down the field because he had the arm strength that Alex Smith did not have. They would bring him in the middle of games to do this. So I think there was a reason for that.
I think he's a good. I think he's a good quarterback. I just wouldn't take him as high.
I'm not putting too much, you know, merit on him losing Crabtree and all that.
He does have weapons. Like, he does have Anquan Boldin.
They just brought in Boldin.
He's
aging, but he's still, you know, a receiver that can be trusted on
the
field.
And Vernon Davis is always a threat. So, you know, I don't like him as much, but, I mean, I could see why you picked him, but I don't like him as much. I actually took Matt Ryan.
Okay.
Matty Ice.
All right.
Like, very much like Peyton, where he has a lot of weapons. He's a running back around him now, Steven Jackson, even though I don't think Steven Jackson is going to last the whole season. They still have Jaquise Rogers, but they also still have, you know, two of the best wide receivers in the game, Roddy White, as well as Julio Jones, who I think is going to have an amazing season. And then you have the guy that never ages, Tony Gonzalez, coming back. So there's a lot of weapons around him. He doesn't have to worry about the contract. They can just play. I think they're going to be very, very good this year, and I think he's going to be I personally think when it's all said and done at the end of the season, he could easily be top four, top three quarterback. He just has that much upside and that many weapons around that I can see that happening.
All right. Well, number six, it might be a little bit of a stretch considering some other rankings I've seen here and there, but I think this guy's going to have a big year. I believe in him also. I know it's only his second year, but I'm going with Andrew Luck for number six, ranking him ahead of a lot of other guys. I think he'll have the numbers. I'm confident with that. What's your number six?
This is a crazy one, but I'm going with Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford?
Yeah.
That's pretty early.
It's pretty early, but Matthew Stafford now has a weapon in Reggie Bush, which a lot of people don't realize that Reggie Bush can catch the ball out of the backfield. They never had a running back. Since he's been there, they never had a running back that was even a threat. You know, I think they thought they were going to get a threat with, what's his name, Best, but he ended up not panning out. They tried other running backs, never pan out. We do know Reggie Bush is a game breaker, and by having him in the backfield, he proved in Miami he can, you know, run between the tackles. But now him catching the ball out of the backfield with someone like, you know, Matthew Stafford, and also having Calvin Johnson on the other side.
Obviously, you had Calvin Johnson very high in the mock draft earlier, so you got to take his quarterback early.
Yep,
it's understandable. All right, next, Number 7, that's where I've got Matt Ryan. I think he's going to be good. He's definitely top 10, but I like those guys ahead of him. Who you got at number 7?
I took Kaepernick at 7.
Kaepernick at 7, all right. Number 8, I got another guy who makes plays on his feet. You know, I think it's a new offense in the NFL. I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. And that guy is Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson. I've got him at number 8.
I have him at number 8 as well. That's a good spot for him.
All right. So that's we're all in agreement there. Number 9, I got Joe Flacco, Ravens, you know, Super Bowl champion. I trust him. He's lost some weapons, but I think he's still consistent enough. Who you got at number 9?
Number 9, I actually have Andrew Luck.
All right. So I got him ranked a little higher than Gary at number 6, but he's got him at number 9. Number 10, that's finally where Stafford lands for me. I think that's where he belongs. He's got Reggie Bush. He's got Calvin Johnson. Who do you got there?
I got Flacco.
All right. So yeah. You got Flacco a little bit
he's
further
He's lost a lot of weapons, so I don't know.
You know, one spot below, you got him. All right, so that's the top 10. We're going to 11 to 20 now. We'll pick it up a little bit. 11, I got Cam Newton. He runs a little bit. He's, you know, he makes some errors here and there, but I think he'll bring some points in.
I got RG3 there. Okay. Same reason, he'll bring some points in. He probably would have ranked a lot higher if I would have known, you know, what's going on with his injury, but I still think once he gets in the game, he's going to be there. Yeah. I think at the end of the season, obviously, he'll rank a lot higher if he stays healthy, but as of right now,
that's
number
the up. Only reason that I've got RG3 right below Cam Newton. I've got RG3 at 12.
And I actually have Cam Newton. Cam Newton at 12, so we kind of just flip-flopped.
Well, flip-flopped him. RG3 is, you know, past Cam Newton because of the injury issues for me. Number 13, I got Tony Romo.
I have Tony Romo as well.
I'm a cowboy.
I think even if they win or lose games, he still, you know, throws the ball a lot and he gets the points and he even scrambles sometimes too, so he can make plays on his feet too. Staying in the NFC East, number 14, I have Eli Manning.
Agreed, Eli Manning.
All right, so we're in agreement there.
And I'm actually still in the NFC East after that because I'm going with Michael Vick.
That's what I've got at number 15 as well. We both got Michael Vick. We got all three of the NFC East quarterbacks lined up there. And I think it's close for 13, 14, 15 also. I think Vick will keep throwing his picks, and but he'll get the ground yardage. I think Eli will, you know, get some yards through the air, and Romo will as well. All right. Number 16, I'm going with Jay Cutler here. I think he's got Martellus Bennett there now. They haven't connected yet in preseason a whole lot, but I think they'll get it going somewhere. And obviously, he's got Brandon Marshall as well. He throws a lot of picks also, but I think he'll make up for it. Who you got at number 16?
I got Andy Dalton.
All right.
He's throwing AJ Green, and I think someone that I'll talk a little bit about more, they have a big red zone threat now with Tyler Eifert, tight end. Right. He's been, if you watch Hard Knocks, he's been amazing on it. And, you know, they still have Gresham there, I believe. So, you know, they run a lot of two tight end sets. I think he'll have a good season this year.
And he's got Ben Jarvis out of the backfield also. Yep. Catch those screens. Mm-hmm. Big yardage. I don't have him quite yet. I've got 17. I've got Sam Bradford. Pretty much for two guys that I think are going to help him a lot this year. I know you don't believe in him. You're shaking your head over there.
I don't even have him ranked
looking
in my
at
top
me
20.
Like I'm some piece of shit.
I don't even
but,
have him ranked
he's not
20.
Even wow. He's not even in your top 20.
Nope.
Well, listen here. I'm telling you that these
listening.
Two guys, Tavon Austin, who they just picked up in the NFL draft, and a guy named Chris Givens who can stretch the field. We also seen already saw a big play from Chris Givens, and I believe it was Week 1 preseason game.
Okay.
Those two guys I think are going to up his fantasy value. And just more and more years in the league, I think he's going to, you know, cut back on the errors. So I believe in him a little more than you do. That's why he's in my top 20 at 17. Right after that, I've got Andy Dalton at 18. So he comes close behind him. Who you got at 18? 17 and 18.
17, well, I actually had Roethlisberger there, but sitting here thinking about what you said about Cutler, I'm going to switch him. I'm going to put Cutler over at 17, and I'm going to drop Roethlisberger down to 18.
Okay.
For me. Roethlisberger, you know, he lost a key weapon. He's over in Miami now, but you know it's still Roethlisberger, still Big Ben. He can still run. He still can stand up and take the hits and get delivered a ball down the field. So you know,
that's
I still
true.
Got a ranking.
And that's
on
where
there.
I've got Roethlisberger right after Andy Dalton at 19. You know, I think he's getting up there. Yes, he was the same draft class as Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, but I think over the years he's gotten banged around a whole lot more than those two guys. He's taking a pounding, Gary.
He's taking a pounding.
His ass is.
You're
taking
making him sound like the horror kickers that we had earlier.
Over the years, Ben Roethlisberger's ass has taken a pounding. That's all I can say about that.
Over the years, my ass has taken a pounding.
So that makes him a little bit more injury prone than the other guys in his class. That's why he's going down at 19 for me. And I got a sleeper pick at 20. I think this guy is gonna come out.
Well, hold on, I didn't even get to my 19.
Oh, okay, go. You're 19. Go ahead. I'm getting ahead of
Josh
myself.
Josh Freeman.
At 19?
Yes.
All right. Where are you going with that? Because I think he was on the decline at the end of last year.
He was on a decline at the end of last year. He also still has, what is it, Mike Williams?
All right.
He's still there.
Vincent Jackson.
And Vincent Jackson. And as well as, Doug Martin. You know, I'm still iffy on Doug Martin, but he does have a good cast around him, and I think that he deserves to be ranked in the top 20. I think he might surprise us this season. I think he will go back to, when we first saw him coming in the NFL, he was slinging a rock, he was doing real well. I think that's when we'll get him back.
All right, so Gary believes in Josh Freeman. I always said he looks like, a five-year-old Michael Jackson head.
Does look like Michael Jackson.
On top of a quarterback's body. But, that's neither here nor there. Closing out, my number 20 is the sleeper I was talking about, and that for me is Brandon Weeden. He's in my
Brandon
top
Weeden
20.
Does look very good. I actually didn't even rank him in there, but he does look very good. I saw that, I think, what preseason game it was, I forget, but he just lofted down the field, and I believe it was Gordon, just caught
Gordon's,
it.
Gordon's got a suspension, I believe, to start the year.
Two games of the season he's suspended.
But he's going to have him, and he's going to have a guy who we're going to talk about a little more in the show. I'm not going to give his name away yet. You're going to have to wait till the sleeper section to hear about this guy.
But let me give you my 20, and this guy is also, a lot of people aren't talking about him. I'm going to go Carson Palmer at 20.
All right, if we went to any further, he would have been my 21, Carson Palmer.
I think Larry Fitzgerald, simple as that. Larry Fitzgerald, Carson Palmer, he's been, I think he's going to see not so much when he was on the Bengals, when he had Chad Johnson, when he had all the weapons around him, but I think that Larry Fitzgerald's a good enough weapon where we could see very close to that form that he was on the Bengals, where he's slinging the rock and he's just looking good out there on the field.
All right. Running backs, rankings, here we go. All right. I'm going to give you my top five real quick, running back rankings, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. Number one, I got Adrian Peterson, obviously. I think that's everybody's clear-cut favorite. I know, maybe the past couple years there have been a couple number one draft picks that have been debatable, but I think everyone's pretty much clear on number one being Adrian Peterson. Number two, I got Marshawn Lynch. I know Foster's got some injury concerns with me. I don't know if I'm trusting him or not. I got Marshawn Lynch number two. Number three, I push Foster back even further. I got Ray Rice number three. I think he's going to get a lot of yards. I mean, this guy's, he catches the ball out of the backfield. He does the screens. He does up the middle. He does everything. He gets the goal line. And then Arian Foster comes in at number four for me. I don't want to draft a guy in the top five. Like we said in our mock, that's going to be sitting on the bench. You're going to be concerned about. And for me, number five is Jamaal Charles. Injury concerns as well. But I think he's, definitely a game changer, and he can, explode at any time. Give me the top five and some reason why.
And that's what she said. My top five is very similar to yours. The only difference is I flip-flop Jamaal Charles and Arian Foster. I put Arian Foster at number five on mine. I just think, like I said, Jamaal Charles, he's very, very good last season. Not a lot of people talked about it because Peterson did such a great job coming back from ACL, but Jamaal Charles came back from ACL as well. And he did, not as good as Peterson, but he was explosive. He looked at old form. He looks very good. And like you said, with Alex Smith being there, he's going to be good. I just don't trust Foster. When I got these four solid guys who I know haven't been, were killing it last season and aren't going into the season looking injured.
All right, so who do you got? Top five real quick. One through five, who do you
one
got?
One through five. Peterson, Lynch, Rice, Charles, Foster.
All right, so you're putting Foster even down further.
Yeah.
About his injury concerns.
Yep.
All right, 6 through 10. C.J. Spiller's at number six for me. I think, they're going to give him a lot of work, which is good, which is important. Then Doug Martin for me. Then LeSean McCoy, who I actually may think about drafting ahead of maybe Doug Martin. Depends how I'm feeling on draft day. Side note, me and Gary do have our big draft coming up.
I won last year.
We got it coming up a week from today, actually.
Which I won last year.
Gary was the champion last year. I have been the champion of that league before. That's why you're getting some fucking A-plus, fantasy advice here.
We both have been consistently in the playoffs every year.
But to not stray too far away.
But I won last year.
So I might, think about taking LeSean McCoy earlier. But for now, C.J. Spiller, 6. 7, Doug Martin. 8, LeSean McCoy. 9, Trent Richardson for me. And 10, Alfred Morris. So top 10 for me, running backs. Let me hear yours.
All right, number 6, I got Trent Richardson. Number 7, C.J. Spiller. Number 8, Doug Martin. Number 9, LeSean McCoy. And number 10, Alfred Morris.
All right, so I think we've both got LeSean McCoy ahead of maybe some other people's rankings. I think he's going to have a monster year. I think the new system is going to provide him with a lot of opportunity for work.
And I think Vic looks pretty good. He looks like he's getting a system. He looks really good, and that'll be you know, another reason why.
Vic's going to vulture carries in the goal line. He's always going to do those, you know, goes for the...
The home run, when he just, as opposed to passing the ball, he just, like, you know, decides to run down the field. Yeah. We understand. Yeah, he's going to do that.
He's going to give you that, you know, fake pump, but and he's going to run it in.
But that same threat is the reason why McCoy is going to have a good season.
Yeah. LeSean McCoy is, you know, he's proven. All right, 11 through 20. Here we go. Running backs, 11. I got Stephen Ridley up there. I had him last year. He was a very crucial part of me getting to the playoffs. He had some big games. He had a couple stinker games, but he had some big games as well. And for a Patriot to have the points as a running back, you know, you normally don't trust Patriots running backs. I don't normally trust him anyway. And he, you know, he gave me that seal of approval last year. So I've got him up there this year. I know they got some other guys in the mix, Shane Vereen, that whole thing. But
LeGarrette
I got him.
LeGarrette Blount.
I'm not worried about those guys. I think Ridley is the man. There. I've got him at 11. 12, I got Forte. 13, I got Steven Jackson. He's aging, but he's got, you know, a better opportunity in Atlanta. 14, I've got Frank Gore. Same exact thing as Steven Jackson. They're both aging, but they're both still on good teams that, you know, like to run the ball. 15, a guy a lot of people are forgetting about. I don't know why, you know, because he hasn't had the spotlight. His team's not very good, but Maurice Jones-Drew, I got at 15. 16, Chris Johnson. This guy's just way too unpredictable. 17, I got David Wilson, New York Giants, you know, first year starting. 18, I got McFadden. 19, I got DeMarco Murray, who's another, you know, guy that could give you both good and bad on any given Sunday. You never know, but that's why he's at number 19. And number 20, I got, you know, Lacy from the Packers, Eddie Lacy. So I think he's going to come out and do pretty well. Give me your 11 through 20.
All right, 11, I got Forte. 12, Chris Johnson.
Okay.
I put...
Chris Johnson's a little higher up on your list.
I think it's Chris Johnson. You know, he came on a little bit last season. It's just, he's Chris Johnson. You know, you never can count him out. 13, I got Ridley. 14, I got Gore.
Okay.
15, Steven Jackson.
Okay.
16, Maurice Jones-Drew.
I'm taking it you're not that big on Steven Jackson. Not as big as some people.
Not as big as some people because there's too many weapons there, man. There's all just right. So many. I think I'm, what am I at, 17 right now? I have David Wilson at 17.
All right.
McFadden at 18. Murray at 19. And 20, I have Reggie Bush.
Okay. You're big on the Lions, too, huh?
I think the Lions, they're a good team. They're a very good team. I think, like I said, the factor of Reggie Bush being able to, you know, catch balls out of the backfield is a big part of his game. And he has actually someone who can get the ball to him. And Matthew Stafford.
All right. You love Matthew Stafford. You want his penis probably somewhere around your mouth. All right, wide receivers, 1 through 5. I got Calvin Johnson, number 1. Obviously, no-brainer. 2, I got A.J. Green. I'm not that big on Dez Bryant. I've seen a lot of mock drafts. I've seen a lot of rankings. They got him super high. They got him in a top 3 wide receiver. Yeah, he makes plays, but he's also... I think he's got issues with his character, and you never know when he's going to do something, say something, get upset, cry like a little bitch, and not feel like playing or get suspended or, you know...
I agree with you.
...smack his mother around or whatever the fuck he was doing last
week. Yeah, he smacked his mom around.
You're the best mom in the whole world.
Got arrested at a mall for yelling at a security guard. He's all over the place, so...
Jesus Christ. Anyways, that's why he's not in my top 5. So I got Calvin Johnson, AJ Green, Julio Jones is my number 3. Number 4, I got Brandon Marshall. This guy always ends up on my team and he always produces, and I don't see any reason why he should be lower. Number 5, I got Demaryius Thomas because he was on my team last year and he had a big year before Wes Welker was there. Yeah, Wes Welker might take away some of his, you know, catches, but Wes Welker being in the middle of the field also helps him on the outside, and he's going to have a ton of big plays on the outside.
I remember Decker. I had Decker last year, and he was amazing. So
I'm not too big on Decker. I think Decker is going to be the odd man out with the trifecta there in Denver. I think he's going to be the odd man. I think he's going to be the bottom of the totem pole as far as receivers. Not totally at the bottom, but I think he's going to be number 3 when it comes, you know, at the end of the season, all said and done. I think Thomas, Welker, and then Decker are my drafting order for those 3 guys in Denver. But anyways, so I got him, number 5, Demaryius Thomas. That's my top 5 wide receivers. Give me yours.
My top 5 are Calvin Johnson, A.J. Green, Julio Jones at 3. As much as I don't really like Dez Bryant, I got to put him in my top 5.
Okay.
You know, end of the season, he was killing it. You know, I don't like him. I agree with Rob, you know, the character issue things, but he is a threat, so he belongs in the top 5. And then at number 5, I have Brandon Marshall.
Okay. My 6 through 10, finally, Dez Bryant lands on my list at number 6. This might be a little high for this guy, But if you're going to put Aaron Rodgers so damn high, which everybody's doing, you got to put one of his receivers high. And for me, at number 7, I got Randall Cobb. I think he's going to have a big year. He started to shine, you know, last year, and I think this year will be even bigger. Number 8, since I think Julio Jones is going to be so involved, I've got Roddy White down at number 8. Number 9, I have Vincent Jackson. Huge target. Seems to catch, you know, almost everything that's in his vicinity. And number 10, I got Andre Johnson, because you can't deny his talent. He seems to be on the decline. He's getting a little older. But still, he's got to be in my top 10. Give me your 6 through 10.
I got Demaryius Thomas at 6, Roddy White at 7, Vincent Jackson at 8, Andre Johnson at 9, and then at 10, Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
It's Larry Fitz. He's got to be up there, man.
That's true.
And he actually has a quarterback who can deliver the ball now in Carson Palmer, so.
This is true. I think it's crazy to say, but I think Larry Fitzgerald is probably a sleeper to have a huge year.
Yeah, he is. Definitely is. Even though he's
so keep your mind
the man
on him while you're drafting. 11 through 15, I've got Wes Welker at 11. I think he's going to – the guy eats up yards.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is super quick, and you can't – you know, it's hard to tackle him. Number 12, Larry Fitzgerald. That's where he lands for me. Number 13, I got Victor Cruz. You can see the connection him and Eli had in that Steelers game before he banged up and, you know, injured his little foot in the Colts game. 14, I got Reggie Wayne. If you see in the catches he's made in that last preseason game against the Giants, he had a one-handed grab out of the air. He had a crazy deflection off of Aaron Ross, which should have been an interception.
He doesn't age.
Reggie Wayne is going to have, I think, a big year. And I'm high on Andrew Luck, so it only makes sense to have Reggie Wayne there at 14. And to round out 11 through 15, I've got Hakeem Nicks at 15. I think him and Cruz are both going to have good years this year.
It's contract
if they
year.
If they can
contract
stay healthy.
Contract year for Nicks, too. So, 11 through 15, I have Randall Cobb at 11. I have Victor Cruz at 12. I think Victor Cruz is going to be a very, very good year for him. 13, I actually have Wes Welker. 14, Reggie Wayne. And 15, I actually have Marcus Colston.
Okay. That was a guy that you know, went a little further. Actually, I've got Colston at 16.
Okay.
And to round out our top 20 wide receivers here, I got Colston at 16. I got Dwayne Bowe at 17. A lot of people have Bowe a little lower on their list.
I didn't rank him.
Gary didn't rank him. I think Alex Smith and him are going to develop a rapport. Do I have anything to base that off of? No, not really. But, you know, I just have a feeling, so it's my show. And if you don't agree, then that's okay. Number 18, I got Mike Wallace in Miami. I still don't completely trust him, or he'd be higher up on my list. 19, Steve Smith, Carolina. He always seems to make some plays here and there.
Another guy who doesn't age.
Doesn't age, you know. And 20, I got another Packers receiver because I think he's going to have a good year. James Jones, he seems to be emerging as of late. So,
all right, I got 16. 16, I have Mike Wallace. 17, Steve Smith, Carolina. 18, I actually have Akeem Nicks. Like I said, it's a contract year. Yeah, he's got to play for his contract. I mean, Giants want to keep him there, but if he doesn't
stay healthy,
he's got to stay healthy. He just doesn't put out the effort. If he drops some balls, he's been known to do that. I think, you know, he needs to step up this season. I think he will. 19, I actually have Amendola.
Wow, pretty high for Amendola.
Yeah, he is pretty high. Like I said, if there's it'll be one person. Like I said, I really don't trust it
for you shitting all over my Tom Brady prediction.
Yeah, but like I said, who he's going to throw to? That's the one person he's going to throw to. So, with the exception of a sleeper that I have, which I'll dive into later, you know. He needs to be ranked. And then I actually have Decker at 20. I think that, like I said, trifecta of those three receivers, you can't double team them all. I think Decker's going to be very good.
All right. I don't have Decker ranked. And Gary doesn't even have, who didn't you have ranked out of my guys? I don't think you had Dwayne Bowe on your top.
I did not have Dwayne Bowe ranked.
All right. So, giving you two different perspectives here, guys. So, it's up to you to make the final decision. But next, we're going to go with tight ends here. I think clear-cut number one for me, Jimmy Graham, obviously.
Agreed, yeah.
I know he's got the injury concerns. I don't know completely what's up with him, but I've still got Gronkowski at number two. I don't know. Number three, Tony Gonzalez. You know, it's all that you really got to say. He's proven year in, year out. He's hungrier every year. He wants to get that championship so he can finally, you know, retire his ass. Number four, I got Witten. And number five, I got Vernon Davis. Who you got, 1 through 5?
1 through 5. Number 1, Jimmy Graham. Number 2, Tony Gonzalez.
Okay.
Number 3, Vernon Davis. Number 4, Owen Daniels. And then number five, I rank Gronk. You got to rank him just because it's Gronk and he's proven to be good. But like I said, he's injured. And, you know, we don't know what we're going to see out of him.
All right. Got number 6 through 10 here. I got Kyle Rudolph, Vikings. I think he showed some flashes. I think he can be poised to have a good year. Owen Daniels for me, number 7. The guy always seems to produce, even though, you know, he's hurt here and there. Number 8, I got Greg Olsen. 9, I got, you know, this is high up for my ranking. Some other things I've seen. Brandon Myers, Giants.
I actually have him at number 9 as well.
Him and Eli, you know, really haven't connected too much in the preseason yet, but he's new to the system. Eli does like his tight ends, especially in the red zone. Brandon Myers had a ton of catches last year for Oakland. I think...
Who was throwing to him? He had like 6 different quarterbacks.
It makes sense, yeah. And to round out my top 10, I feel like he's got to be there. I got Antonio Gates in my number 10. Who's your 6 through 10?
I actually didn't rank Gates at all.
Okay.
Because I don't think that Phillip Rivers is going to be able to do anything. That offensive line looks terrible, but that's all. That's besides the point.
You got to dump it off to somebody. So the tight end there, you know, it's going to get him out of some, get Rivers out of some sacks and things like that.
We'll see. But rounding out
he's in my top 10.
Rounding out my top 10, I have Greg Olsen at 6, Kyle Rudolph at 7. Number 8, Jason Witten. Number 9.
Now I had Witten at 4. You got Witten pretty low here. What's your thinking with that?
I just don't think Witten's, you know, I mean, he's still ranked in my top 10 because he's good. I just don't think that he deserves top 5 caliber when there's enough tight ends out there who will get, you know, tight ends that get more looks. You got Dez Bryant over there. You got Miles Austin learning to get a lot more looks.
You got Owen Daniels up at 4. You think he's going to do that well?
I think he will do that well.
Okay.
You know, I ranked him there, so obviously.
All right.
I think he will do that well.
I'm just wondering why the hell you ranked him there. That's why I'm asking you.
Owen Daniels is a very good tight end, and okay. I think that he does score a lot, and he will do very well there.
All right, there you go. And what's rounding out your 10 here?
Well, 9 and 10. Martellus Bennett.
As what?
My number 10.
Who's your number 9, Gary?
Yeah, Myers. Yes, I did. I agree with you.
Oh,
we both
okay.
had them same ranks.
All right.
Both have ranked him 9, but Martellus right. Bennett, he did very good with the Giants. And I think, like, right now, obviously, he's having a little issues with Cutler. But yeah. I think once the season gets started, he'll be pretty good, you know?
And speaking of Martellus Bennett and Jay Cutler, there was a hilarious, very funny quote from Martellus Bennett, and it's ridiculous, and we have to share that with you. So Martellus Bennett said, when he was asked about Jay Cutler and the reason they haven't really hooked up that much in the preseason yet, his quote was, "He sees me. I'm 6'7", a big black guy running down the middle of the field. He sees me. I wear white gloves so he can see the white gloves when I wave them like Mickey Mouse. I clap when I'm open. Even when I'm not open, I tell him I was open."
That's funny.
That's a pretty ridiculous quote there, Gary. How do you feel about that?
Me being a big black guy, I think that is pretty ridiculous.
It's pretty accurate.
Pretty accurate.
Big black guy with Mickey Mouse gloves waving them in the air.
That's pretty accurate.
Now, what does that tell you going forward with fantasy here? Do you think that...
Well, I think since he made it a point to put it out there, that I think he's going to look for him a lot more now.
Yeah?
It's out in the press. He's going to have to look for him. And like I said, red zone, he was a beast last year with the Giants in the red zone. I think he'll very much do the same this season.
All right. Well, I think, you know, Jay Cutler is a big, big fan of Brandon Marshall. I think maybe there might be, you know, he might be a little too...
I think Brandon Marshall will get him down the field. I see Bennett in the red zone.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse hands, big black guy in the red zone.
I don't think that Jay Cutler wants to throw to anybody else in the world except for Brandon Marshall. I think he might have a thing for him.
He might.
I think, yeah.
That's his receiver.
I think he might.
That's his quarterback. His T.O. quote.
You know the NFL commercial?
That's my quarterback.
You know the NFL commercial where the one guy's wearing Cutler's jersey, you know, in front of the mirror?
So Cutler's wearing he's wearing a...
No.
Brandon Marshall's jersey.
No. He's sniffing his jockstrap in the back of in the back of the locker room.
We'll see.
That's how much I think he loves Brandon Marshall, and I don't think he wants to throw the ball to anyone else.
He does like Brandon Marshall a lot, but that's why we rank
he probably wants
that's why we rank Brandon Marshall so high.
He wants to put his balls in Brandon Marshall's
hands.
Hands and
hands.
Mouth.
Yeah.
He's definitely got a crush on Brandon Marshall, that's all I'll say. All right, so let's get back to the rankings here. Got a little off topic.
I think we're on defense now.
We are
top 10.
Top 10 defenses. We'll run through these quick. Number 1 defense for me, I got the Seahawks.
Agreed.
I got the 49ers, number 2. I got the Texans, number 3. I got the Bears, number 4. I got the Bengals, number 5. I got the Broncos, number 6. I got the Steelers, number 7. I still believe in the Steel Curtain. 8, I got the Patriots. 9, I got the Rams, who I think will have a good year on defense, special teams. And number 10, I know they were, disjointed, but a lot of guys left, traded, this and that. But the Ravens I have at number 10. Still think they'll be strong.
All right. I got Steelers. Got the Seahawks at number 1, 49ers at number 2, Broncos at number 3.
Okay. You're a little higher on them.
I'm very high on the Broncos this season. On number 4, I have the Texans. I think maybe towards the end of the season they'll be ranked a lot higher, considering Watt's going to be back. But as of right now, I got them 4. 5, I have the Bengals. Bengals are looking very good. They, with the addition of James Harrison on the line next to Atkins, I mean, they're going to be very good. Bears, number 6.
Isn't James Harrison, I mean, is he always pissed off on Hard Knocks?
He looks like the maddest man in the world. And I think that's going to play out on the football field a lot. Right. Next to Geno Atkins, that's something I would, as a running back or a receiver, I would never even want to go their direction.
And don't forget, he was, he's still in the same division that he was in all those years with the Steelers. So that adds, added fuel on the field. Yeah. So that Bengals defense is
adding him
good.
To an already good defense just makes them a lot better. Number 6, I already have the Bears at number 6. Number 7, the Ravens. Number 8, I actually have the Patriots.
Okay.
And number 9, the Steelers. And number 10, I have the Packers defense.
Okay. All right. There were some holes in it over the years.
There were some holes in it, but
they've got playmakers, no doubt. Right now, it is time for the Studs and Busts Fantasy Football Podcast Sleeper segment. Talk about all of our sleepers that we think are gonna be good this year and in the season. And let's start with you, Gary. Let me hear some sleepers. Throw some names at me here. Let's see if
all
we
right,
agree.
I'm gonna start off, I'm gonna round it off with this. A defense that's a sleeper.
Okay.
You don't necessarily need to start them every week, but
he's
from what
I've starting with a defense sleeper here. What do we got?
Carolina Panthers, defense and special teams.
Okay.
A couple of different reasons. One, Ted Ginn Jr. is there. Remains that's a threat on kick returns, punt returns. He already has a 74-yard touchdown in the game. So right off the bat, that boosts them to making, you can get points off of special teams and whatnot. So that's a threat right there. In preseason, even though it's only preseason, the 8th-ranked defense, 5 forced fumbles, 4 of which return for touchdowns. These are their starters, by the way. 5 interceptions, 2 of which for touchdowns.
Okay.
Okay, 9 sacks. This is preseason. They're already looking very good. Their offense is looking pretty good, obviously Cam Newton and whatnot, but I think the defense is going to shine. They went out and they got a bunch of veteran defensive tackles, defensive line, defensive ends, young linebacker core, 2 decent corners, so I think this is going to be a defense that's going to step up this season. I also have Carson Palmer, ranked as a sleeper.
That I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a new team, he's got some weapons, he's got Larry Fitzgerald now. He's out of the black hole, which is the Oakland Raiders. He's in the desert, and I think he's poised to put up some strong numbers. Obviously, the sleepers are someone that you can pick up in the later rounds and not someone that's, on a lot of people's radars. So these are guys you're going to pick up, and they're going to help you throughout the year and put up some good numbers.
And here's a sleeper that you'll appreciate. Since you're very high on Tom Brady.
Well, while we're talking about Carson Palmer real quick, let's just talk about how, he posted 16 or more points in 8 games last year. This is with, an Oakland Raiders team.
Yeah.
Which was, not the greatest.
Not good at all.
High-powered offense. So, I mean, and a lot of those games, they were interchanging quarterbacks, too, in Oakland a lot.
Yeah.
So, that's something to think about, too, for him to put that, productivity, 16 or more points in 8 games last year, that's pretty good.
That's true.
All right, who's your next guy? Who are you throwing
Since
at
you're very high on Tom Brady this season, there's a threat that I think is very good. It's Zach Sudfeld.
Okay, we've been hearing his name a lot.
6'7", tight end.
Okay.
Okay, with no Hernandez and no sign of Wayne Gronk coming back, they're obviously very heavy on the tight end. They love the tight ends. As of right now, we only know there's one clear-cut weapon that they do have, and that's Amendola. So I would say Zach Sudfeld is definitely on the radar as a sleeper, a deep sleeper at that. Like I said, obviously the past few seasons, they love their tight ends, and a guy that big with good hands is going to get a lot of looks from Brady.
And while we're talking about tight ends, this is a guy that I almost brought up before. I said I was going to bring him up later on in the show. And my sleeper tight end has got to be Cleveland Browns' Jordan Cameron.
He looks great.
He's looking good.
Looks really good.
He's got two touchdown grabs against the Detroit game. In the Detroit preseason game, he had two touchdown grabs. You know, he's from USC. Good system there. Pro system. You know, now he's breaking into a lot of people's rankings now, and this is not someone that anyone saw coming at the start, but he's definitely a sleeper to watch out for. You know, once all the big names are gone, once you're Jason, you know, obviously guys like Witten, Vernon Davis, Kyle Rudolph, these guys are going to be going ahead of this guy for sure in most drafts. So this is a guy to look out for, I would say, tight end. And while we're talking about the Browns, that's, you know, that's also my sleeper defense.
Is it?
It is. Yeah, they're not as bad as everyone thinks. They've been looking pretty solid, and
might be their season.
It might be the big season, and I think. Let's get into quarterbacks. I sound like, well, I'm high on the Browns right now because I think Brandon Whedon might be a sleeper quarterback for me.
Well, if Brandon Whedon is a sleeper quarterback, that plays off of what I have as one of my sleeper wide receivers, and that's Josh Gordon.
Okay, now he's suspended for a few games.
That's why that's another reason why he's a sleeper, because he'll drop. People will see that he's suspended for two games. They won't take him. You can get him great value later on, and you can just stash him until you need him. It's a good option in the flex as well. So, you know, that's someone to look out for. You can possibly grab after the first two games and then plug him in later on.
You brought up Sudfield. I'm going to bring up another Patriot who I think is someone to look out for in the later rounds as a sleeper. And like I said earlier, you got to look out for the little guy, the little white guy. Everyone knows Amendola is there, but do we know if he can stay healthy? That's why Julian Edelman, for me, is a sleeper pick. He's going to be throwing balls all over the field, Tom Brady. And, you know, someone's got to take care of that Wes Welker spot.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
If it's Amendola, you know, if he stays healthy, I still think Edelman will get some work. You know, so I think Edelman is someone to keep your eye on in the later rounds.
I actually have a couple more sleepers here. I think James Jones is a very... He's getting a little bit more attention now, but there's not enough talk about him. All right, last season, 14 touchdowns. Okay, that's big. Okay, and majority of those touchdowns he got were two a game or three a game. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of the attention is more on Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. No one's talking about James Jones. James Jones is a legit threat. He's a legit wide receiver, and he just stays consistent. He played 15 games last season. Started 15 games last season, actually played 16, but started 15, and he's a red zone target, a big red zone target that Aaron Rodgers actually does look for a lot. And like I said, 14 touchdowns is a lot of touchdowns, and he had a lot last season.
Sticking with that, I'm going to give you another wide receiver who I think it seems to be most of the sleeper spots this year are at the wide receiver position. I think that's why you think it's so deep. A lot of them are sleepers, though. These are guys with a lot of potential, you know, to be big names throughout the year, especially guys go down. Other guys step up. I'm going to give you another name. Reuben Randle. New York Giants. He's number three wide receiver right now.
True.
Knicks has to stay healthy. Cruz has to stay healthy. And with those guys on the field at the same time, you're going to have that third wide receiver.
He did show flashes of being someone special. He has shown flashes. Can he stay consistent?
I don't know.
That's the problem. That's what we got to worry about.
That's why he's a sleeper. He's got, you know, some upside being there with those two guys taking away a lot of the attention. And I think he can eat up yardage. Someone to think about in the later rounds. And I'm going to give you one more wide receiver. And someone I touched upon earlier when I was ranking Sam Bradford. And that's Chris Givens. He's a down-the-field threat. That's all there is to it. Let's go into running backs
now.
Throw some sleeper running backs.
All right, I have two sleeper running backs. Like I said earlier, I mentioned him earlier, Fred Jackson. I think he's been falling very, very far in the draft because a lot of people see CJ Spiller. That's it. They want to go with CJ Spiller, but they forget how productive and how good Fred Jackson was before his injury. Him coming back healthy, I think he's going to steal a lot of the goal lines, and I just think you never know. They're going to be doing a two-back system, I feel, and halfway through the season, you never know if he'll take that spot. I think he's going to be very productive. And another running back that a lot of people aren't talking about, San Diego Chargers running back Danny Woodhead.
Okay.
Okay.
You're not a big believer in Ryan Matthews.
Ryan Matthews sucks.
Yeah.
I don't believe in Ryan Matthews. Danny Woodhead has been proven he can play. He's on the Patriots, very good. And even if he doesn't line up as a running back, he can line up as a wide receiver. He can line up anywhere on the field. I think he's a very good pick. If you're desperate and you need someone, Danny Woodhead, he's been known to produce.
I'm going to go with you know, New York Giants, Andre Brown. They handed over the starting, you know, spot to David Wilson.
Yep, that was announced.
But if you remember when Andre Brown was healthy last year and when he played, he ate up yardage.
He might be in a doghouse, though, with Coughlin with that fumble in the preseason.
He had a fumble in the preseason, so he, you know, he's on a back burner a little bit, but I think he's definitely someone that you need to keep in your radar. If David Wilson gets hurt, he's not gonna play every down. The Giants don't, you know, they're not gonna have the same guy in on every down, and he might even vulture some touchdowns away from David Wilson at the goal line because he is a more, you know, heavier back.
I actually want to touch on two more people that I think will be sleepers. One, Brandon Stokley on the Ravens.
Okay.
Who's after Torrey Smith? You know what I mean? I think a lot of times what they're going to do this season, I think they're going to try to stop Ray Rice and make him pass because it really is only one clear threat. Last year we saw that Stokley still can play. Middle of the field will be open. He can hit Brandon Stokley for a few touchdowns. And then the last sleeper that I do have is a quarterback on the Bills, E.J. Manuel.
Okay.
He hasn't been named the starter yet, but I think if he is named the starter, he has a cast, like I said, C.J. Spiller around him, Fred Jackson, Stevie Johnson. He has enough people around him where he can actually be very good. He has looked great in preseason. I think it's just a job for the taking. I think he can only lose the job. I really think it's going to be his job. And I think later on, stash him on your bench. You never know, you can use him as a trade. A lot of people did that last year with Wilson and a couple other rookie quarterbacks. Pick him up, put him on your bench, and see what happens.
A couple deeper sleepers now. I think Justin Forsett. This is a guy that you don't hear much about. He's on the Jacksonville Jaguars now. Maurice Jones-Drew. He's the man there, but he's got some foot issues.
It's also a contract with Maurice Jones-Drew, so even he's going to be playing through those foot issues because he either wants to get paid there or he wants to get the hell out of there.
And I'm going to give you a stat now, throw some stats at you. Justin Forsett, as a backup for the Houston Texans last year, when he was in, he averaged 5.9 yards a carry, Forsett, as a backup for the Texans. So, given a chance with the Jaguars, something happens to Maurice Jones-Drew, if he gets, you know, injured again, you might want to plug in Forsett and see what happens and roll the dice there on a deep sleeper.
That's true. So, once you mentioned Jaguars, it actually made me think of another sleeper. Not so much a sleeper, but he's going to be falling very far in the draft because he's suspended for the first five games. It's Justin Blackmon.
Okay.
You know, you can get him at good value. So yeah, I guess you can say he's a sleeper. You can probably get him very, very late. Like I said, suspended first five games of the season. But when he is in, he does produce. And he's someone you can get very late in the rounds.
This is true. One other name I would mention as a sleeper running back position would be the Denver situation. Ronnie Hillman. Monty Ball, rookie. Hasn't proven himself yet. And you, who knows? He might not end up starting for very long. So that's just someone else you need to think about. And we're going to touch more on those kind of issues in a little segment we like to call This Guy or That Guy.
This guy or that guy.
All right, Gary, I'm going to take a couple different guys who are on the same team, and you're going to tell me who you're going to want when it all comes down to it at the end of the year. Not necessarily where these guys are getting drafted, but who's going to have the better year fantasy-wise. And so here we go. This guy or that guy. Green Bay Packers, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Rookie running backs. You want this guy, Eddie Lacy, on your team till the end of the year, or you want that guy, Jonathan Franklin? Tell me why.
Eddie Lacy, from what we've seen of Eddie Lacy, I think he looks better. I think he's going to get the job clear cut. I think he's going to have the job as a starter.
Obviously, he was very, you know, big production in college.
They are very high on him to begin with, so they're just going to give him a lot. He's going to get a lot more opportunities because of the fact the organization's high on him to begin with.
Okay.
So, with that said, if you're going to have to pick either one of them, I'm going to go with the guy that they already have shoved down your throat as this is the guy they're going to start, you know. So I'm going to go with Eddie Lacy.
Okay. This guy or that guy, actually we got three names here. We got Denver Broncos. You want, when it comes, you know, to the end of the year, you want Monty Ball, Ronnie Hillman, no Sean Moreno. This guy or that guy?
Crazy to say, I'm going to go with no Sean.
Really? Out of those three guys, you think he's going to emerge?
End of the season. No Sean looked great at the end of the season. You know, did he get injured last season? What was the reason? Or did he just get knocked out of playoffs?
I think so. He actually did well at the end
of the season.
He looked
good. He just got knocked out of playoffs. He looked better than he had been before. So, with that said, I would go with a guy who knows the system, who does look good. So, I think I would go with No'Shawn. If I, you know, was going to pick either one of those running backs, I would go with No'Shawn Moreno.
All right. I think another concern with Monty Ball, too, which is all these mock drafts, people seem to be drafting him really early as, like, he's the clear-cut starter.
He's not.
The clear-cut favorite. He's also got some blocking issues.
And that's another reason I would go with Knowshon. He knows the system. He knows the blocking. And like I said, the only reason why there is even in question if he's a starter is because, like, you know what I mean?
The Broncos Broncos have three guys to work with here. If they see that Peyton Manning is not being taken care of, that's going to be a huge issue, and that's going to be a change of the position. All right, so we got Steelers now. This guy or that guy. We got Le'Veon Bell, who was hurt already, but he was looking like the favorite at the beginning of the preseason. Isaac Redman and Jonathan Dwyer.
Jonathan Dwyer. Very similar to the same reason why I should pick Knowshon. He proved that he can play last season. He did very well when he was in. Putting a new guy in there who's already hurt, you know, I'd rather go with the guy who I know is going to block for me, who knows the system, who has done very well. So I would go with, like I said, Jonathan Dwyer.
And, touching on Le'Veon Bell, Steelers, some concerns with him. You know, he finally made his preseason debut, and it lasted all of, you know, four plays that he was in there. He left the game after one series, and he had the Lisfranc injury on the foot there. So, you know, that's not something that's comforting when you're drafting a running back for fantasy purposes. All right, Gary, on to the next one. Giants, obviously, we got David Wilson and Andre Brown, both at a running back position. It's pretty obvious that David Wilson is going to be drafted way ahead of Andre Brown. But when it comes to the end of the season, who do you think is going to have more production, more fantasy points, this guy or that guy?
David Wilson. He's a game buster. He's a game breaker. He, give him the ball, he'll find a seam, he'll be gone. Andre Brown's more of, don't get me wrong, I think they're both going to be very productive, but I think David Wilson's going to be a lot more fantasy-wise. He's going to get more points because he's going to get more yards. I think the only thing that we might see, Andre Brown might get a little bit more goal line carries, but David Wilson should be the one that you pick and you keep on your team.
All right. We got the Dolphins, Lamar Miller and Daniel Thomas. You want this guy or that guy when it comes to the end of the year?
I want neither guy, to be honest with you, but I mean, if I got to pick one of them, I'm going to go with Daniel Thomas. Like you said, Le'Veon Miller has already fumbled. Lamar Miller, not Le'Veon. Lamar Miller has already fumbled. Like I said, it's more of just Daniel Thomas. He looks good in what I've seen in the preseason, so Daniel Thomas is my pick.
And, okay. Atlanta Falcons. You want Julio Jones or Roddy White? Obviously, Julio Jones seems to be the favorite among people.
Mm-hmm.
You end of the year, who's got more points?
Julio does.
Jones or Roddy White? This guy or that guy?
Julio. Julio is another guy who's just a threat on the field, and he's, you know, earlier in his career, there was always the off-field issues. He seems like he's a lot more mature now. When healthy, he's a threat. He's a big, big body on the field. They're going to look for him in the red zone a lot. Julio Jones. You got to go with Julio.
All right.
Don't get me wrong. Roddy White's still going to put up a ton of points, and I would take Roddy White over a lot of other wide receivers in the game, but Julio Jones between the two of them is just going to be more productive.
Okay. We're going to go to the Indianapolis Colts now. Ahmad Bradshaw, new acquisition. Is he hurt? Is he healthy? Is he going to be able to go? Is he going to break down over the course of the season? You want him or you want Vic Ballard, this guy or that guy?
Going to go with Bradshaw. I think Bradshaw, I think he would be named the starter at this point if he wasn't injured.
Okay.
And I think that's the reason why they got him. If they trusted so much in Vic Ballard, I don't think Bradshaw would have been brought in. They already take him off the PUP list. He's already practicing. I think Bradshaw will come in there. Plus, you know, he has a lot to prove. He has yet to play a full season without an injury. I think a new team, new start, he'll want to prove his old team wrong for letting him go. I think he'll be a very, very good asset to the team. And he's another guy who can catch the ball in the backfield. So that's something big that they can use there.
He is a tough little guy. All right, moving to the Buffalo Bills. This seems like it should be pretty clear cut, but I don't think to you it is. C.J. No. Spiller and Fred Jackson, who's got more points at the end of the year? And who's had more production?
I actually think, and I've been touching it all day, I'm very high on him. I think at the end of the year, those goal line carries are going to be taken from C.J. Spiller. Fred Jackson is going to have more points in the end of the season. I just think from where you can get him in a draft, from where I believe he's going to take the goal line, I think Fred Jackson at the end of the season will be your clear cut, will have more points. He'll just have more points. I'm not saying he's going to be the starter, but I think at the end of the season he will be. He'll have more points, more goal line carries. He's going to be healthy. I just think this is going to be Fred Jackson's
Gary
year.
Is big on Fred.
Very big.
Freddie Jackson.
Plus, you got to remember where you get him. If you can get a guy like Fred Jackson, who's a proven guy, who last year was a top 10 running back, who just happened to get injured, you know, he's healthy now. He's going to be on the goal line, man. Fred Jackson, I just feel like he's very good this season.
All right. New York Giants, Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz. Cruz seems to be, you know, the favorite, being drafted first in most drafts. At the end of the year, who's going to be healthy? Who's going to put up the production? Who's going to give you more points at the end of the fantasy season? Is it going to be Nicks or is it going to be Cruz?
It's going to be Cruz simply because of the big plays. Cruz is a guy who can burn you down the field with just one play. Nicks, I think Nicks is going to get a lot more. He's going to be probably one of the best seasons that Nicks has as a contract year. But I think at the end of the year, point-wise, you got to go with Cruz. He had too many big plays in him. It's the perfect example. Look at a few years ago against the Jets. They looked like they were over 99-yard touchdown like that. So big plays are going to make Victor Cruz a reason why he's going to be chosen at the end of the season.
Now, see, for me, this is one of my predictions that seems to go against what everyone else is saying. I know Victor Cruz is great. I think they're going to continue to double-team him. I think teams are going to continue to double-team Cruz. He had a foot issue in the game the other night, but I think it's just a bruise. He should be fine. Should be nothing to worry about. I personally think Nicks is saying that he is 100% healthy now. I don't think that he seems like the type of player that will come out and, you know, misguide you or bullshit about something like that. So I think he's I believe him when he says he's healthy. I don't know why. I feel like he's a trustworthy guy. He's got a nice face, you know. He's got a trustworthy face, Gary. And I think he's going to get those red zone looks. He's got huge hands. He's got big ups, you know. And Tom Brady's ass is getting sacked on the TV as we're recording this. We're watching some footage of some preseason stuff that happened over the weekend.
His number one quarterback. I just keep pointing at the screen going,
my number one quarterback.
Look.
But you know what? This is what happened in preseason. People look like shit in preseason, and then the season starts. You're like, Jesus Christ, we didn't see this coming. But anyways, I think Nicks is going to get... He's a big body. He's going to get those red zone looks. He's going to get those red zone touchdowns. And I think he's going to have more points at the end of the year. That's just my gut feeling on this one. All right. We're going to move...
And this is probably the biggest one that everyone's talking about. Which guy?
This. We're going to stay in the same town here. We're talking about New York Jets. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, everyone's. I don't think
either one of these guys is going to impact any sort of fantasy team, or you know, maybe should not even be drafted. But we'll talk about him anyways. This guy or that guy, who's going to put up more points from a fantasy perspective when it comes, you know, the end of the year? I wouldn't trust either one of them. But we'll talk about it for the sake of talking about it. Mark Sanchez or Geno Smith? This guy or that guy?
I would go with Geno. You know what you're getting with Sanchez. You don't know what you're getting with Geno, and that's a big thing in the defenses. You know, it's hard from the game plan for. You got a rookie coming in there who they drafted him. They moved up to get him for a reason.
Now, is Geno Smith injury something that's going to set him back?
I don't think so because he's starting against the Giants this week in a preseason game. He's gonna get majority of the carries because they gave, you know, the dress rehearsal for Sanchez last week. And they basically, from what I believe, I heard from, I believe one of my friends is actually a Jets fan. And that's not a real good source. But from what I heard, it's basically his starting job to lose this week. If he gets a couple turnovers, he's going to lose a job. You know, and I think, like I said, you know what you're getting with Sanchez. Geno Smith is a rookie quarterback, I know, but I see a lot more upside with Geno Smith than I do Sanchez because we know how Sanchez is. He's just going to turn the ball over. He'll fumble the ball running into his own guy's ass.
All right. So, well, I don't think any listeners out there even, you know, considering drafting Sanchez. Period. So.
Well, I mean.
But you know what? We will discuss another this guy or that guy from the same team because this one has a little bit more you know, measure in the fantasy football scope, and it is the running back position for this team. Do you want on your fantasy team, this is gonna, you know, this is something later round, but are you picking up as a New York Jet running back Chris Ivory or Bilal Powell? Who do you want, this guy or that guy?
Powell. Because Powell looks explosive. Powell actually looks very good. He's the only guy on the Jets that I think actually looks like he's ready to play. And that goes for the whole team.
The first two preseason games, I got another stat here. Bilal Powell, he's got 82 yards on 16 carries, and he's got 3 receptions in the first two preseason games. Obviously, he's not playing the whole game, so these are some good stats and good production out of him as far as who you should be taking when it comes time to draft if you're taking either one of these guys.
New in town.
We're going to bring some names to you that have changed locations from last year to this year. New teams and we're going to tell you whether it's going to help or hurt their fantasy value, and pretty much what you can expect from them going forward with an all-new team around them. So let's start with a guy that went from the St. Louis Rams, who's there for a very long time, to this year he's got a brand new team with the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, I'm talking about running back Steven Jackson. What do you see from him as a change in productivity? What do you think? You think he's getting better, worse? What do you expect out of him this year?
I think he'll be very productive. I don't think he'll be as productive as he was in St. Louis, simply because he was the only guy there for a very long time. He was their only source of being able to score. Like I said, I think he'll be productive. I think he's still, you should draft him if he's there. But with Julio Jones around him, you know, Julio Jones, Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White, there's just so many more options that, you know, it's going to be hard for him to get the ball as much as he did when he was on the Rams.
I think for Steven Jackson, it's pretty much his job to lose. I know they have a couple backups that are going to maybe see some time here and there because he is pretty old and he is up there, so he's got some wear on the tire. So you're going to see a running back come in here and there. But if he kills it, he's going to stay in. And I think he's a big running back. I think he has the potential to be a monster at the goal line, which the Falcons probably will see a lot. So, all right, going now from a guy who was on the Raiders to this year, he is now quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals, Carson Palmer. I think obviously this is going to help his productivity. Like we said, 16 points or 8 or more games last year as a Raider. They can only help him go into the desert where he's got Larry Fitzgerald and some other weapons there.
Who has been a monster with quarterbacks who aren't even as good as or close to being good as Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer, when he's on, he's on. And I think that's going to be a good pairing.
It's going to be a good connection from Palmer to Fitzgerald. And we're both in agreement. We think that's something that you're going to see a lot this upcoming football season. All right. Now, this one might be a little tricky. From the 49ers to the Chiefs, Alex Smith. What do we expect out of him this year? What do we see from him?
I always say that I thought it was very unfair that he lost his job in San Francisco. But obviously they went on to the Super Bowl, so they knew what they were doing. Alex Smith, the past few years, has been good. Very good quarterback. NFC Championship game. You know, last year, before his injury, he had won 5 games. He was looking good. Now he's on a new team, has a legit running back now in Jamal Charles. Andy Reid's there. Andy Reid has been wanting to work with Alex Smith for years. And you got Dwayne Bowe there. I think he's going to be good.
I think he did have a lot of errors in San Francisco. He kept it very safe. They had a big running game. He ran the ball a lot in San Francisco. I don't know if you remember that. He had some runs himself. He had some big runs against the Saints in that playoff game that year. You know, before they went on to play the Giants in that NFC Championship game, which he was also good in. But he played it very safe in San Francisco. They had a great defense in San Francisco, which bailed him out a little bit.
Hey, don't sleep on that Chiefs defense, though. Don't sleep on that Chiefs defense.
Chiefs defense might be all right, but I think he's going to be middle of the pack quarterback this year. I don't think you're going to see any flashes from him. Any of his points, I think, will come from screens from Jamal Charles dumping it off. That's where I think he's going to.
Dwayne Bowe, though, man.
Him and Dwayne Bowe might connect. But as for me right now, what I'm seeing from him is kind of middle of the pack quarterback play. So moving on, a guy who went from the New England Patriots to the Denver Broncos, wide receiver Wes Welker. What are you predicting out of him this year?
I think he's going to be a big year. Wes Welker on the Patriots he just sliced and diced and cut apart defenses. Peyton Manning's throwing to him now. Like I said earlier, they have so many weapons on that team on the wide receiver spot. You can't double team everybody. He's going to be the slot guy. He's going to be in the middle of the field. He's not the number one guy there. He's going to be all over the place. You know, you got Decker, Thomas on the outsides. Him in the middle of the field, it's going to be wide open. I think you're going to see a big, big, big year from Wes Welker.
Agreed on that. Everything Gary said was pretty spot on. Reggie Bush, Dolphins to the Lions. What are we going to see from him switching over from Detroit to Miami?
Like I said earlier, I'm very high on the Lions offense this year. I ranked Matthew Stafford pretty high. I ranked Calvin Johnson very high. And I actually put Reggie Bush in my top 20. I think he's going to be very good. I think a lot of it's not going to be come from the traditional, from the backfield run. I think it's going to be coming on quick pitches, screens. And the last time he actually had a quarterback that can actually get in the ball is when he had Drew Brees, and he was very, very productive there. So now that he has a quarterback that can get him the ball out of the backfield, I think he's going to be great.
I think the same applies for him that it did when I was talking about Steven Jackson earlier. It's his job to lose. He's going to get the touches. He's going to get the playing time. As long as he stays consistent, stays healthy, I think he'll do well for Detroit. It's a good offense. Ahmad Bradshaw, going from the Giants to the Colts. How do we feel about him? What do you think his production is going to be? Is it going to be the same? Is it going to drop? Is it going to be better? What are we going
to
see out of him?
I think he's going to have a lot to prove going to a new team. But if he stays healthy, I think Bradshaw is going to be a good back. It's just a matter of if he stays healthy. That's the one thing. He has yet to play a full season without missing a game. And he's already injured going into the season. Yeah, he's off the pup list, and he's probably going to start. But if he's not healthy, I don't really know. I guess he'll be all right. I just, not too high on him with the injuries.
Not that high on him right now. We got to see how he fits into the Indianapolis offense. We're not really sure about that yet. Another guy went from the Giants but to the Chicago Bears, Martellus Bennett. Definitely sounds like it's going to be a kind of interesting year with Jay Cutler and him. We'll see how that goes. What do you think we're going to see from him?
I think he'll be good. I don't think he'll be as good as he was on the Giants. Like I said, but I think in the goal line he'll be pretty good. If like you said earlier, Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler have a little thing going on, but I think Martellus Bennett might interfere a little bit on the goal line. We do know Eli likes his tight ends, so that's the reason why I don't think he'll be as productive. But I think he will be somewhat productive, but not as much as he was in the Giants.
All right, agreed. A guy we touched on a few minutes ago, Chris Ivory from the Saints to the Jets. I think he got some big plays because of the offense he was in, and I'm not sure it's going to carry over to the Jets, who really don't have that much to offer and that much to give him around him. Like we said, I think Bilal Powell is going to be the guy there. Brandon Myers, Raiders to the Giants.
I think he's going to be awesome on the Giants, simply for two reasons. Simply, he was on the Raiders last year. He was very productive on when they had the carousel of quarterbacks coming in. He stayed productive. Eli Manning, like I said earlier, with Martellus Bennett, Eli likes his tight ends. You touched on it earlier about how Eli, he makes his tight ends look good. Brandon Myers is a very good tight end. He's going to be catching balls he's going to just be in the red zone getting touchdowns a lot. I see it down the field getting touchdowns. I just think it's going to be a very good year for him.
All right, a guy who stayed in the division. He moved from the Green Bay Packers to the Minnesota Vikings, wide receiver Greg Jennings. How do you think he's going to fare this year?
Not that good.
You're not seeing good things
for
him?
There's a difference having Brett
Favre. Bro. Christian Ponder.
There's a difference between Brett Favre throwing to you, then having Aaron Rodgers throwing to you, now Christian Ponder.
Yeah.
Those years that he was killing it, he had guys that would sling it down the field. Now he is Christian Ponder. No offense to Christian Ponder. He did all right. They got to the playoffs. They did good. But I think that was all on Adrian Peterson's back and not so much him.
But having Adrian Peterson doesn't help your pass game. He might, he might see some open field.
There's a big difference between Percy Harvin.
He didn't see on the Packers.
There's a big difference between Percy Harvin getting the ball down the field and Greg Jennings. I just think Greg Jennings, he's not as explosive as he used to be, I don't think. And he's a lot of talk this season already, just burying his old team. So, there's a lot. There's already a lot of weight on his shoulders for him to produce before he's even played a game, regular season game, and I just don't think it's going to be the same.
All right. I got one more for you. I got one more special new in town for you. It's a guy who went from, having big plays for the New England Patriots, and now he's currently resides in prison. His name's Aaron Hernandez. How do you think the shift from the Patriots, NFL star, just signed a $40 million contract or something like that a few years ago?
I think it'll fare well for him,
Think so?
He's a tight end, so that'll be really good for him in jail. But when he gets out, it'll probably be a loose end.
You might go from a tight end to a wide receiver by the time he gets out of the prison there.
I think he'll do all right there.
I don't know how you make a boneheaded decision like that.
I don't know.
But
he went to the.
We'll touch on this.
He obviously didn't go to the right school. He should have called OJ before he did all his crimes.
Jesus Christ. So we'll touch on all these fun, fantasy football and NFL related topics in the next episodes. Today we were just getting all the technical stuff out of the way. We're gonna have a lot more fun with you on the upcoming podcasts, because I'm sure throughout the year plenty of ridiculous, interesting, and good and bad things are gonna happen in the world of the NFL and fantasy football. And me and Gary got gearing up for our big draft, our main draft.
I have two big drafts next week.
Our drafts that we got coming up next weekend. So
and hopefully next weekend we'll have an email set up so you guys can start emailing us questions.
We do have an email set up.
Oh, we do.
Yes.
This is new to me.
Studs and Busts Fantasy Football Podcast. You can email us any questions you have, any comments you have. You know, you want to praise us for the good advice we gave you. You want to tell us how,
shitty we sound.
Shitty we sounded and how much shitty advice we gave you for your drafts. And, of course, we're going to share with you our draft results. The email is studsandbusts@mail.com. That's the email address. Send us anything you want to send us. And, we'll read the emails on the show here. If you got anything interesting to say, we'll share it with the rest of the listeners. And we'll be back, probably next week. We might try to throw up a podcast right before the draft to give you any more information that's happened throughout the week and any last-minute draft information you need, because a lot of drafts are happening next weekend because it's the last weekend before the NFL season starts. So there's a lot of preseason games coming up this weekend. So for me, Rob, Gary.
So long, everybody.
All right. So that wraps up podcast episode number one of Studs and Busts. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in again. Make sure to subscribe. All that fun stuff. Share with your friends. All that good shit. And we'll see you next week. Later.
Peace.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night and God bless America.
Okay, bend over.